Hello, I am Greg Livingston, and I am here tonight with. Please introduce yourself.
Hi, my name is Anthony Powell with PhilosoPlay. I'm a game designer in the Baltimore, Maryland area, and I am currently working on a new project called That Rock Paper Scissors Game, which takes the core mechanics of rock, paper, scissors and brings it into a new space for multiplayer gaming.
Nice. And before we get to the questions proper, I just wanted to mention both like seeing you in person and reading your comments online and even like looking at your avatar on the internet, you're a very positive person. It's refreshing.
Oh, thank you. Thank you so much.
Anyway, about that rock, paper, scissors game, I wanted to ask about the flow of multiplayer, how you keep competition going, how you keep things interesting and also fair. So to start out, I wanted to ask, that rock, paper, scissors game is a three-player game. You have a rock player, you have a paper player, and you have a scissors player. And so for the rock player, the paper would be the predator element, the element that they're running away from, and the scissors would be like the prey element, the element they try to catch up to. And I was wondering how players generally respond to their prey element. How do they get them?
Oh, so basically what I found was that a lot of gamers who are playing that rock, paper, scissors game find that it's really about strategy. The characters are all evenly balanced in terms of the pace that they move and the damage they can do to their prey and the damage that can be done to them by their predator. So really it boils down to one of the most purest psychological of games, where players are really just trying to psych each other out, and trying to predict where their prey is going to end up and try to meet them there. Because the goal of the game is, as you explained, if you're a rock, you have to smash into scissors but avoid paper at all costs. And there's some interesting things that I see players doing in a game like this. One of which that I just mentioned, where a lot of predicting takes place. So, like, Rock has to kind of look at the entirety of the room, has to kind of sort of see where paper is and see where scissors is. And as Rock is chasing scissors, Rock kind of has to guess, okay, scissors can only move in so many spaces. Which one am I going to choose to try to meet them head on at and then smash into them? And so, like, and this is taking place for all three players simultaneously, and there's like this weird synergistic train of thought that's going on between the three players when they're chasing each other around and stuff. So it's pretty interesting.
When you say synergistic, like, you mean because they're all observing the same game space and are aware of what the other player could be thinking?
Precisely. And it's just really, really strange to see players sort of linking each other's minds together and trying to read what the other player is going to try to do. And most of many of the times, I mean, the players that are the most successful are the ones who can read the other player the best and either try to meet a player head on or throw the other player off of where they're intending on where they intend to go, you know. So Rock is always trying to fool Paper in terms of where Paper may predict Rock to be in like 3 seconds and stuff.
I gotcha. There's some clever, it's not just a player chasing their prey element. They can also seek to fake out the people chasing them or the person.
Exactly. Yeah. That was unintended, an unintended gameplay element when initially designing the game. Like, I was just thinking of it as like a very crude way of playing tag, where you're just trying to chase the other player. But I find that the most successful players in that rock, paper, scissors game are ones who are particularly good at predicting where the other players are going to end up and meeting them there, and also psyching the other player out and stuff.
So have you ever seen like a rock paper getting scissors to kill paper for him?
Yes. Oh, yeah. Yeah, absolutely. So we have that quite often with people who just start off playing the game, but they quickly forget that it's the player who has the highest score at the end of the match that wins. So by if Rock allowed scissors to get paper, then scissors would most likely be the winner at the end of the match because they have the highest score. And so I gotta constantly remind you players, remember, it's the player who has the highest score at the end of the match that wins. So you want to ruthlessly go after your prey while tirelessly avoiding your predator, you know?
I gotcha. That's an interesting way of keeping the game engaging.
Yeah, thank you. And it's funny because, yeah, with this kind of mechanic, you end up protecting the person trying to kill you, you know? So,
Yeah,
so you
that's got to
have
be
to.
a funny balance.
Yeah, it really is. I think that's where I guess the game might get some of this novelty from, is you're constantly trying to kill the player that's trying to kill the player that's trying to kill you, you know?
Yeah, actually, you don't see too many multiplayer games geared three-way. You might have like a shooter where you might have squads with multiple people, but it's still two main squads. I don't think I've seen too many games that pit three players against each other equally.
I'm sure they're out there. I can't think of anything off the top of my head. It was really the pure mechanics of rock, paper, scissors that inspired me to want to make that rock, paper, scissors trio mechanic, along with like navigation inspiration that came from Pac-Man and Snake and Tron and things like that. And I get those a lot as well. Like, this is just like Pac-Man. I'm like, yes, it
Yeah, it's really clean, simple movement.
Yeah, four directions. I did initially start off with allowing the players to move freely in the level, but that really got like it wasn't as challenging. I mean, it was very challenging to try to escape. You know, because players can chase you in any direction, it just wasn't as fun as having players move in only four directions. You know, it seemed to be a lot more challenging to attack a player because you're limited in the amount of directions you can go. And likewise, it's a lot easier to pick up and understand how to move around and stuff, you know.
Okay, that's a subtle distinction that you had to keep things balanced between the predator and their prey by modifying, just by taking out diagonal movement.
Yeah.
So there are also items that players can collect in the game, right?
There's power-ups in the game. Right now the game is going to ship with 9 power-ups. You have like landmines, invisibility, dashing, invincibility. You have a printer that can clone copies of yourself. A big warhammer, laughing gas, lightning strike, and a pickpocket power up as well, where you can steal points from other players.
Oh. So, how did you balance items against players without items?
Oh man, a lot of hard work. I mean, the power ups were easily the most difficult thing that I've ever had to implement into the game. I mean, just trying to keep them all balanced and having power ups that can negate other power ups and stuff. You know, like I really wanted the power ups to be characters in of themselves as well, to the extent and how they have a relationship with the other power ups that have been selected by players. Like for example, if you are being let's say if you're being chased by a person, like if you have invisibility and you're being chased by a character who has the ability to pickpocket you, when your character turns invisible, the pickpocket the player no longer knows where to pickpocket. So even if they're close to you, they can't steal your points away from you because they don't know exactly where you are. Or for example, if someone uses the lightning, power up against you, and they create like a big lightning storm cloud above your character's head. And the lightning doesn't know where to strike because your character is invisible and stuff. And just like just little things like that make the game play much more interesting when you're choosing which power up you should use and stuff. And also like trying to keep the power up balanced by not dedicating any power up to any given player. Basically, the three players get to choose which power up they want to have in the match, and they after they used it three times, or if they successfully killed the player with the power up, or if they died, they end up losing the power up, and it goes back into a level for somebody else to grab. And so, like, I think with those mechanics so far, the game seems balanced between all the power-ups and stuff. But it's been very, very difficult to try to achieve that.
Okay. So it sounds like each of the power-ups interacts with all of the other power-ups, maybe in a subtle but also meaningful way. And it's also not, you know, power-up isn't an automatic win in that you need to be skillful with it. You only have three uses and you lose it if you die. So it's not like the odds are unfairly stacked against the player without a power up.
Yeah, that was the hope to try to achieve that. There might still need to be some work done on that, but I keep finding new things to tweak with the power ups. It's pretty interesting.
One thing I wasn't clear on, like, so do players purposely choose power ups?
Yes, you can choose before the match starts one power up to bring into the level. So there always be three power ups available in the level, and players can just basically they'll just be sitting on the ground, and a player has to run into it in order to obtain it, and then they would have to push the action button or the power up button to use the power up. And then, or they can discard the power up and then pick up a different power up that they run into on the ground. And so it keeps the power ups moving and flowing and stuff. You can end up using all three power ups at different times of the match. And it just keeps it all flowing. And that was just because we had landmines in the game. That was one of the first power ups we added. And, we found that it was quite unbalanced that players were able to just lay landmines all over the level and just take out their prey constantly. So we decided to limit it to just three landmines, and you lose the landmines the moment you successfully kill your prey with that landmine and stuff. Or you can discard it, or if your character dies, you end up losing those landmines. They go back into its original place, and another player has to smash into it to grab it. And they can use it.
Okay. So is that to say that a player might, you know, I might see my friend pick landmines, and so I choose the lightning because I think that's going to be good against landmines?
Well, it would most likely be chosen because you would pick the lightning because it's something that you can attack your prey with without having to step on a landmine.
Yeah, okay. Well,
yeah, but let's say if you pick the dashing instead of the lightning, then you could while trying to attack your prey dash and step on a landmine and then end up blowing up and stuff.
Okay, that makes sense.
Yeah.
And so, when a player is losing, how hard is it for them to recover? Like, do winning players gain a significant lead, or is the match pretty even throughout?
Well, actually, it's funny that you mentioned that because about midway through development of the game, we realized that, you know, if a player is actually really good, they can annihilate the board. If they're good at both evading and chasing the predator's prey, they could really get a serious points advantage. So one of the things that we had implemented, we had it turned off for simplicity's sake at the Gamescape and other events, but we have special attacks where underneath your character's HUD there is a critical meter that's blue, And the more kills you get, so for every kill that you get, it goes up 25%. I'm sorry, 15%. And every time you die, it goes up 30%. If your character is continuously dying, and which would mean that the opposing player, your predator, has a very large lead on you, then you can unleash a special attack. And if you can land that special attack, which is unique to your player, then it'll give you extra points, more points than you would get if you were to use a power up. And so that's the best way that we have for balancing that out and stuff, is by it's not a sure bet that you can land or you can take out your prey with that special attack to give you extra points. But if you can, it will balance the it will give you a higher point increase than you, and it would make catching up a lot easier.
That's an interesting consequence where naturally I'm going to want to go after the other player and get them as often as I can, but in so doing, I give them fodder for a counterattack.
Yes, exactly. Now, it's not to say that the counterattack will get you every time. You do have a lot of many chances to avoid or evade the attacks. But if you do get hit, then you'll have to work a little harder to try to get to try to get that lead again.
Okay, cool.
Thank you.
And so, one last question, more conceptual, I like to run by everybody. When it comes to game design, not just in that rock, paper, scissors game, but in just in general, talking about games, what do you consider more important? The game itself, the intention of the developer, or the experience of the player?
Well, that's actually really good. I would probably say, I mean, is it possible I can give two answers, or?
Sure, it's just however you like to answer.
Alrighty. Well, I will probably say, it's like the intentions of the game developer are all well and good, but it always comes down to execution. And if the execution of the game is good, which is like the design is good, then that matter that makes a huge difference. But it's ultimately, I guess, up to the perception of the players and stuff, you know. So the I so I can like I can design I can try to design the best local multiplayer combat game I can, but it's really in the eyes of each player who plays it that determines how good it actually is and stuff, you know. So I think, you know, it's hard. I would have to go between the first and the third. I would probably have to say that it is ultimately, you know, yeah, you know, it's ultimately up to the players that will determine what's the most important about your game, is how the players see it and stuff, how they respond to it.
Okay. It's and
That's such a good question.
it's like an indirect communication where you, the developer, or some developer makes a game and then the developer hopes that the game communicates whatever idea to the player on behalf of the developer. All right.
Absolutely.
Well, thank you for joining me. This has been an insightful interview.
Thank you. Thanks so much for having me. I've been waiting all week to for this interview. It's great to finally happen.
Yeah, same here. I also just realized I forgot to ask if there was anything you would like to plug.
Yeah, so if anyone's interested in finding out more about that rock, paper, scissors game, you can check us out at facebook.com/philosoplay, which is PHILOSOPLAY. Also, you can check us out at twitter.com backslash philosoplay and youtube.com/philosoplay as well. And we also have a Steam Greenlight campaign where we're trying to get as many votes as possible so that we can get our game onto Steam. If you want to check out the Steam campaign, you can just go to our Facebook page or our Twitter handle, and in our description on Twitter has the link for that Rock, Paper, Scissors game Steam Greenlight campaign. So thank you so much, y'all. And my name is Tony Powell with Philosophy Play.
Nice. Thanks for sharing.